Welcome to the Positive Education Podcast with Ash Manuel. As we know, the number one hot topic in the world is mental well-being. Ash has worked with close to 1,000 organisations impacting more than 250,000 people, including schools, sports teams and businesses across 45 countries. Today, Ash is regarded as a global thought leader in positive education. In this podcast, you'll hear stories, information and actionable ideas from positive education and well-being experts. The purpose of the podcast is so that you take away ideas that you can execute in your classroom, across your school, at your sports club and in your organisation, plus tips and tricks that you can apply in your own life.
Hi everyone, I'm Ash Manuel and today I'm talking with Dale Sidebottom. Dale is the author of All Work No Play, A Surprising Guide to Feeling More Mindful, Grateful and Cheerful. Dale is a TEDx speaker and founder of Energetic Education. And today we're going to talk about gratitude and how it can bring more fun and happiness to your life. Welcome, Dale, and thanks for joining us.
Ash, my pleasure, mate. Thanks for having me on the show.
Excellent. Thanks, mate. Now, Dale, we know each other quite well. We've done some workshops together and I've been on your Energetic Radio podcast. So I know a little bit about you, but one thing I don't really know is a bit about your childhood, where you grew up. So can you tell us a little bit about where you grew up? And yeah, a little bit about your life as a child.
Yeah, sure, mate. So I grew up in country Victoria in a place called Shepparton, and very fortunate. I think it was about 50 or 60,000 people. And one thing sort of growing up in regional Australia, I know it's very similar in SA as well, mate, that life revolves around sport. So for me, that was football in winter and cricket in summer. And the benefits of being part of a club and just, you know, the connections I made through playing sport, socializing, playing seniors, playing juniors with older and younger people is something that I feel very fortunate today. So my life revolved around sport. I went to university after that. I had two amazing PE teachers that really believed in me and essentially I wanted to be one of those. So went to university after that, Ash, studied to be a PE teacher and I know we'll probably get into the teaching side of things, but always had a passion for moving my body and playing sport. I guess things change. I'm a little bit older now and the body doesn't do what it wants to, but I still enjoy watching it, mate, if that makes any sense.
Absolutely. No, I totally understand that. And that's fantastic. Sounds like you had a really positive childhood and is that fair to say that set a really good foundation for you now where you're at?
Yeah, it did, mate. It did. I think one thing growing up in the country and it's very community orientated. I live in Melbourne now and to be honest, I do like it because I can walk down the street and you don't say hello to every second person. But growing up, I didn't know any different. I absolutely loved it. And I think that's one benefit of growing up in the country, that life does revolve around a club. If that's training during the week or you play on the weekend and then the after-match function where the whole community comes. So I was very fortunate. My parents were really involved in all of that and so were my two younger sisters. And something that I believe is essential for, you know, forming great relationships and building resilience, I suppose. That's one big thing. I think being part of a club and taking the highs and lows that come with community sport.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, totally resonate with that. Growing up, I think we've got very similar backgrounds in that. I mean, I didn't grow up in the country, but grew up around sport and sporting clubs. And you learn so many life skills at sporting clubs when you grow up, and they can set a really good foundation. And you learn a lot of social skills as well, even your communication, whether that's through the actual games or just being at a club where you're talking to people. And you mentioned about growing up in a community where you just know everyone. And I know that you're probably the most enthusiastic, energetic man I've ever met, and I think that's probably had a lot to do with it. But no, I love that. Story about growing up. Now, you mentioned about going to university and doing PE teaching. I did exactly the same. I became a primary school PE teacher. So, how long did you teach for before you did transition into energetic education?
Yeah, so I taught for 1 year in a primary school back in my hometown in Shepparton. They got me a job and the deal was I'd come back and captain coach one of the cricket sides. And if I did, I got the job and really enjoyed that. And my plan was then always to go overseas. I wanted to live in London, work over there and travel around Europe. So I ended up living there for about 3 years. And when I got back, I worked for a company called Cedar and Cricket Australia, where I taught the Talented Players Program. So that was like year 10, 11 and 12 up and coming elite young cricketers. And it was an amazing job. But one thing for me, Ash, is when I was in London, I was doing like supply teaching and did this for about 4 months. And it was probably the hardest thing I've ever done. And I remember one day that I just nearly had enough. And my housemate, because living in a share house, there's about eight of us in a three-bedroom house, all Aussies. One of them was working, he was just pouring beers at a pub and he was always happy and stuff. And I'd come home because some of these kids was just horrific. And it was this one day, like I'd walk in this class and these kids, I couldn't control them. I had three teachers' assistants in the room and these kids were just going crazy and they wouldn't do any work. And anyway, at the end of the day, this grade three kid hit me in the bat with a cricket bat. Like, and mate, and I nearly lost it. Anyway, I still remember it so vividly. I still had 2 days left at this school and I'm like, how am I going to get through this? So I left the school grounds. I went to a pub, sculled a pint, caught the tube home and I calmed down and I thought, do you know what's wrong here, Dalit? You're walking in here. You're not building a relationship with any of these kids. You're expecting them just to do the work without even giving them anything back. And for some reason, I remember this supply teacher I had back at high school. And he started the day with just these four icebreaker connection starters. So the next day, I went bang, straight in there, did these. And it was a completely different day. The kid, Billy, who hit me in the bat, was my best mate. He controlled the class. And it was just incredible. And I realized one important lesson there that, and this is anything in life, that it's connection before content. Don't expect wherever you are, mate, for people to do what you want or fall in love with you or want to be on your side unless you actually show some time and build relationships with them. And from that day then, it just sort of kept happening. And while I was over there, I realized there were so many other Australians that needed these ideas and people asked me for them. So I made my first mobile app and then I got carried away with that. And when I was back in Australia, I started presenting after hours. And so I'd teach all day and on the weekends I'd present and then I'd start flying. I started doing some overseas. And what ended up happening was is I started building my own brand. And that's what essentially I was doing and called it Energetic Education because it went pretty accurate for what I'm doing. I was working in education. I was very energetic. And it slowly just came to a stage where I was getting these requests. I remember doing a conference in Dubai and at the end of my masterclass, I had a school in Hong Kong and Singapore say, Dale, we'd love you to come out the next month. Can you do it? I'm like, oh, not really, because I've got to go back and teach full time. And they're like, well, you need to quit that. And I'm like, oh, maybe I do. So it was just at that decision. I thought, well, I've made 30 odd apps. I've done all these courses. I'm presenting. I can always go back to teaching. But yeah, I thought I could have a big impact. So that was sort of where I was at. Actually, about 5 years ago now, I resigned from my job and I thought, you know what, I'm going to give this a red hot crack. And obviously COVID hasn't made it that easy, but I'm still going strong and I think presented in about 22 countries around the world now, which is pretty cool.
Right, that's an amazing story. I love that. And we have done a couple of workshops together. And yes, one of the, I don't want to pump your tires up too much here, mate. But definitely,
don't do that, mate.
Definitely one of the best presenters I've sort of seen and had the pleasure of working with, mate. So definitely an amazing story. Now, just going back a step where you said that class, the class was just you got hit in the back of with a cricket bat the day before, then you came in. So what can you remember one of those activities you did? I'm sure there's a lot of teachers, a lot of even parents with kids that maybe they need some ideas. What can you remember some of those activities that you did that day?
Yeah. I can, and this is one of the big things I talk about now, that became my routine, that it didn't matter which class I walked into, and it's exactly the same now. It doesn't matter if I'm working with a corporate, if I'm working with primary schools, kids, adults, a sports club, I do this same routine. It's obviously changed a little bit now with how I've evolved, and I'd recommend people experimenting with this. If you're going into a situation or a class or a meeting and you're doing the same thing over and over again, I'm guaranteeing people will be bored. They won't resonate with you. You're not building connection and you won't have the same impact. So for me, that was just essentially, there was three different rock, paper, scissor games. I think you can find them all. If you go onto my YouTube channel, just type in Dale Sidebottom. It's a pretty unique name, Ash. You'll be able to find it. There was a game called Rock, Paper, Scissor, Train, Rock, Paper, Scissor, Cheer Squad, another one called Evolution, and then I finished with a game called Gotcha, where you put your fingers out and you grab them. They're all on my YouTube channel. You can go and check them out. The best thing about it, there's no winners or losers. There's no one isolating. So a lot of time people think with an icebreaker that, oh, let's stand in a circle and we'll go around and, hi, I'm Dale from Shepparton, and hi, I'm Ash from Adelaide. Like, that's an ice maker because everyone's terrified. What am I going to say? Everyone's going to be looking at me. You're not listening to me. I'm not listening to you. It is a horrible way to start. So a good connection starter or icebreaker, whatever you want to call it, is that everybody's having fun. There's no winners or losers. Nobody sits out and the limelight's not on anyone. And the whole thing, if it works well, all you'll hear in the room is laughter. The energy will go to the next level. And obviously now you saw my new routine. I've had that for about 2 years now, that it just flows. And by the end of, you know, it goes for about 15 minutes, I've got people doing some outrageous things that they wouldn't even know they were going to do. Before that, they were sitting down, they didn't know these people. Now they're best friends and the energy is just completely different. So my thing is, and I'm so passionate about this, I did a really big workshop with O-Media last week and I challenged them that, how do you start your meetings? And they said, well, we just get our meetings started. I said, well, that's boring, isn't it? And they said, yeah, maybe it is. So this week, they're all trying some of those games. And I've got text messages saying it's amazing how much a simple 2 or 3 minute activity just changed the whole mindset. So it doesn't matter. I think as teachers and kids in school, we're fortunate enough to play games and see these all the time. But for some reason, the older we get, the more serious life becomes, Ash. And that's when we need play. We need these things to start meetings. We need them at home. We need them to make footy training fun or whatever you're doing. And for me, that was so evident that day when old Billy played a lovely hook shot in me back. Next day, bats down. I'll tell you what, he was my best mate. We're going to make a good partnership together. So it was evident from them and it still is now.
Yeah, that's amazing. And I have seen that, those icebreakers in action, how you describe it. And even for adults, like they change the energy in the room and they're absolutely amazing. And I highly recommend, if you are in the situation where you're at a meeting, or if you run meetings or board meetings or work meetings or teacher staff meetings, and but classroom as well, they're just such a good way to start the day. It builds a lot of confidence as well. As you said, the energy in the room changes, and definitely witnessed that. Now, just moving on. So we're transitioning from PE teaching into the integer education, because fair to say that there's a demand for it. People are asking you to do things and evolve from there. So the next step that you did was do the TEDx talk, which is a fantastic talk. Highly recommend that. If you Google Dale Seibert on TED Talk, you can't miss that. And it's actually a couple. You actually start with a really good icebreaker in that with the 1-2-3 game, which if you want to have a look at that, it's a really good one to use as well. And in the background there, you've got the book that you've recently written called All Work, No Play. And that's a lot about fun, also about mindful play, also gratitude and being cheerful. So can you tell us a little bit about that book and what led to you writing that book?
Yes, yeah, so I suppose, well, as you mentioned, it started with a TED Talk. And when I did leave my teaching job, Ash, I wrote down, not a bucket list, but sort of things I wanted to achieve. And on there was, there was a couple speaking on some big stages, which I've done a few times. Next time was a TED Talk. And then I put a thing on there, write a book, because my literacy skills are shocking, mate. And it was something that I always wanted to do, but I'm like, oh, I don't think I'll ever get there. So I put it on there. And so anyway, I did the TED Talk. And essentially, the TED Talk is just smaller narrated model of the book. I got obviously going a lot greater detail. And in the TED Talk, I was pretty vulnerable and I shared, you know, some mental health issues I went through when I was 30 and went through a divorce, and it just wasn't in a good place in my own life. And what I obviously used in to get back, and that was some form of play, exercise, gratitude and giving every day. And I've used my story in keynotes and in all the workshops that I've done since. And it's really resonated with people. I think being quite vulnerable and open and sharing, you know, the downs and how I've obviously turned it around and what works for me. And through that, I started working with a PR company and a coach. And I said to them, I want to write this book. I've got this idea. And we started pitching it with my TED Talk to some publishers. And luckily, the head of Wiley Global Book Publishing just loved my energy and the thing around play. So yeah, we got that cracking, and about 2 months ago now we released that. And the book, essentially, there's a lot of books out there on the benefits of play and gratitude and exercise and kindness and things like that. And in it, I've got evidence from three professors around the world, and as well as I've got my personal story. But then it's also got, like I just mentioned, all those games there, how you can actually action them for at home, with your family, with your partner, in the workplace, with a sports team, wherever you are. So what I found was there's a lot of books out there on play and the benefits of it, but there's only research. It's not how you can actually action that, or you can pick it up and go, right, I've got 5 minutes here before a meeting, or start a footy training, I need to do something, or there's a staff meeting here and everyone's flat as a tack. How can I get them up? So you simply flick to it and there's something in there. So it's, yeah, I suppose for me now, it's really beneficial when people get me to speak, that I can say, here's my TED Talk. You can get a little bit of an idea of my energy and what I do.
Oh, yeah.
And also, here's also my book, and that's my story, here's evidence. And so, yeah, it's sort of like the nice package now when I'm sort of, yeah, promoting myself or talking to people to speak. So, yeah, and the big thing for me, sorry, Matt, the last thing about mindfulness is a lot of people, and I had a girl come up to me the other week from a talk, and once I said this, said, I call it play-based mindfulness, because a lot of the activities I use, when you're playing these games, you're not thinking about the past, you're not thinking about the future, you're present. And for me, mindfulness, I really battle to do yoga and meditation and sit still. But if you get me a game where I'm in flow, connecting with others, I'm present. And that's how I stop my mind. And ideally, I get the benefit of connecting with others, energy, laughter as well as being present. And yeah, so a lot of the stuff I talk about is play-based mindfulness and how you can enjoy that by yourself, but also get the benefits of that with whoever you're around, if that's at work, home, or with your family. So yeah, mate, that's the book. Go and check it out. It's available if you just Google All Work No Play by Dale Sobottom. Yeah, or if, depending on COVID, what's open, it should be available in all good bookstores at the moment, mate.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a great, I love that, how you said that at the start about writing a book, you sort of wanted to write one, but you didn't think you could with your literacy skills. And I'm exactly the same. I feel like I've got maybe a book or two in me, but for a start, I'm not a great, I feel that I'm not a great writer, but also I don't like writing. So it's one of those things where, yeah, I think I know there's other ways around it with voice, and then you can text it and things like that. But how did you go about actually writing your book out of interest? So did you write it yourself? I know that you did it actually did it quite quickly, didn't you? I know you had years and years of I guess notes in your head and on paper, but the actual book process to get it to the editor wasn't that long, I don't think, was it?
No, it wasn't. So I essentially, it was about 3 years ago that I started working with a coach and a PR company, and I had the idea for a book, and I wrote another book in about 6 days, and I took it to them. They were like, wow, you did this within the week of starting work with us. I was like, yeah, I want to get this book out there. Anyway, as it all evolved and went on, I had a ghostwriter and the PR company, and they actually helped with the pitch because they knew how to ideally sell to a publisher and things like that. And yep. And then we broke down, you know, how the book would be structured, the flow of it. And that really helped me because I can get on a roll like I can with talking, Ash, and I just keep typing and I'm like, Who is ever going to want to read this junk? Whereas Tara, who worked with me, she actually said, and gave me sort of a word limit for each section. And that worked really well for me. But I know some other people, and it's really funny when you write a book, you start talking to a lot of other authors, and everyone's process is different. I think the best thing you can do, though, and like you said, that you don't have to be the best writer, but you just need to surround yourself with good people. And like what we did, we both spoke so poorly to ourselves there, Ash, that we're both horrible writers. We're not good at writing books. And unfortunately, the way we speak to ourselves is atrocious. Yeah. And I still feel that way now. And I know people will put themselves down about other things, but it's amazing what happens when you get people around you that believe in you. What can actually happen. And that's where it's always good. You don't need to be the best at everything in the world, but find people that can elevate you and really complement the skill set you have. And for me, that's essentially what I did. And obviously a book, there's so many different working pieces. But yeah, you just need to obviously start the idea, put it out there to the world like I did. And if you believe in it and you've got enough passion, then it may take 3 and a bit years, like obviously it did for me. But it was pretty cool when I got my first couple in the mail, Ash, and you're holding it and you're like, wow, I've actually written a book. And I wanted to send a couple of copies to a year 10 teacher, English teacher that used to laugh at my work. So I'll leave it at that because I'm a positive person. But yeah, it's amazing what you can achieve, mate.
it's spot on there. And you made a good point about what we say to ourselves is often how we are and how we behave. But I know exactly what you're saying, because sometimes we also think to ourselves that people don't want to maybe don't want to know what we've got to offer, but people do. Like they actually do want to know about, because everybody wants help. Everyone needs help. And we often think what have I got to offer? But we do. So many people have got great stories and they can share what they've learned and pass them to other people. And it'd be surprising how many people may benefit from your story and what you've learned, because that's one of the things that I've learned personally. And we'll get onto gratitude now, because that's a really key theme of what we want to talk about today. But for me growing up, I always knew what gratitude was, but I didn't really understand the connection about being, how can help you? Like, yes, grateful is good, but why? What's in it for me to actually practice it? So what I discovered through actually looking into property investing, believe it or not, is that gratitude can actually lead to success. So when I was looking into property investors, they kept on talking about this thing about gratitude leading to their happiness and happiness leading to their success. But at the time, that was about in 2010, but I didn't understand the connection. But then I started to look into it because I was really interested in it. And what I discovered is, like learning a skill in a sport, we can learn to be a more resilient, happy person through practice. And one thing that can lead to be more resilient is gratitude and kindness and empathy and skills such as those. And then I understood why. So for me now, if I'm having a bit of a bad day, I might say to myself, look, today's just been one of those days, but at the end of the day, I've got a home to go home to, I've got food to eat, I've got a bed to sleep in. If I actually stop and put things in perspective, what happened today actually wasn't that bad. Now, for people to think like that, it's not really necessarily easy, but through practicing gratitude, our self-talk and our reframing skills coming from a place of being grateful can improve vastly. And that's what I learned. So that's one of the key things that I love sharing with others about how they can use gratitude to help it, or help themselves in their life. So you mentioned in your subtitle there about gratitude. So how did you, first of all, come across gratitude? And how do you use it in your life? And how does it benefit you?
Yeah, so it was one of the things that when I was going through a really rough stage that I know it's been around for centuries, and growing up as a kid, Mum every Christmas would buy me a gratitude journal, and I'd laugh at her, so I don't need that crap, Mum. And it was really funny that I was back home playing cricket when I was going through this rough period, and I found one of those journals, and I just thought, you know what, there's a meaning behind this. And I just simply started writing down three things I'm grateful for. And then I started getting the students that I was still teaching at this stage to do it. And what I found was after doing that for a couple of weeks, I got a bit bored of it, and so did the students. And for me, I need to make things fun. I need to make them into a game. And then I thought, all right, there's some other ways to do this. So then I created a free app. It's called Sugar Life. Anyone can download it. And essentially you start the morning with three questions, and then you finish the morning with three questions. And that helped. That was really good. But then again, the students were like, it's getting a little bit boring. So then I'm like, all right, I need to start. And I use dice for a lot of things, Ash. So I created these daily mission cards where you'd roll a dice, whatever number you rolled, the number would allocate to one of the questions. So each card's got six different questions. And what would happen then is, so for example, let's do one here, mate. So I don't have a dice, but I want you to pick a number, and people out there pick a number 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, or 6. All right. I'll read them all out for you in a minute, but Ash, I want you to pick a number now.
3.
Great. All right. What am I going to do really well today? So this is obviously a morning starter card. So what are you going to do really well today, mate?
I'm going to talk to you really well.
You are, and you're doing a great job, right? I would pick one, all right? What am I looking forward to today? Well, I got to walk outside today. The sun was there, and I got to be on Ash's podcast. How amazing. Now, if you pick number 2, who am I excited to see today and why? When I woke up this morning, I was grateful for is number 4. 5, what is something I can do to make someone else's day better today? And 6, what is something that is going to make me feel happy today? Now, very simple activity, but using the dice, Ash, it broke down barriers and made it fun, all right? And then what I'd get the kids to do is they could either journal about that, they could put a post-it note. I know you're big into a gratitude wall. I would make it, and we had half the wall of that. And the best thing about it is each time you walk past that, it reminds you of it. So I ended up going and making another 20-odd different cards like this. And what I found was each day I would ask one of the students, can you go and pick one of the cards that you think would suit your mood today? And then we're all going to do it. And it was amazing how some kids that just didn't want to share would start sharing in small groups. They'd start writing on the board. They started then practicing it. I got them to design their own, take it home, and their homework with the dice was to use it with their family around the dinner table. So instead of saying, Ash, how was your day? Good. I know we've spoken about this heaps. If you ask a crap question, you get a crap response. Whereas if you want to have a meaningful conversation, incorporate a dice, have six questions, take it in turns as a family. And it was incredible what was happening with these, you know, teenagers that were going home and getting their families to do this. The conversation was so deep, so meaningful, and so powerful. And so for me, I've found a number of different ways to do it now. If that's, I use a lot of board games, so like Gratitude Monopoly, Uno Monopoly, you name it. If I can make it fun where people don't actually realize that they're practicing gratitude, it is a win-win. And I found, particularly if our younger kids, if you can get them in this habit of now doing that, it's something that's, you know, they're teaching that emotional literacy that it's going to continue on. They may not realize they're doing gratitude, but the more and more they do it, it'll just become second nature. And instead of, you know, worrying about what they don't have, they'll be grateful for what they do have and what they can control. So it's sort of been a gradual, I suppose, gradual sort of mission, sort of for me, like, you know, leaving teaching and starting working and how I've built my business. It's been very similar with my gratitude practice, actually. I still do that now. I've got these cards on my coffee table in the lounge room, and I roll a dice in the morning, in the evening. Sometimes I'll just think about the response. Yeah. Other times I'll say it out loud. Sometimes I'll share them. It's, I think having different ways of practicing it suits different times when you need different ways, I suppose.
Absolutely. Mate, I love that. And it's so interesting you say that, because that whole resonate, exactly what you said there resonated with me. And because what you said then was gratitude can get a bit boring if you just keep a journal. So I actually found that as well. And I read a book called, I'm pretty sure it was Positivity by a lady called Barbara Fredrickson, and she in it actually has done some research on that. And if you do keep a gratitude journal, you write three things you're grateful for every day, over time it can get a bit boring. So what she suggested, and as an alternative, instead of writing every day, maybe on a choose a day of the week and write five things you're grateful for, but be really specific. So instead of saying you're grateful for your family, you might say, oh, I'm grateful for my family because we get to go on our Sunday morning walk all together. So be quite specific. But having a variety of practices, I think, is the key as well. So as you said, like, you come up with a dice game. It's funny because we back in 2014, I did a little research project with the University of South Australia when I was teaching as well. And one of the things that we just chose 10 kids, and it was a very small very small research project. But one of the things the students had to do for 6 weeks every day was write something they were grateful for. And when it did come back to that evaluation through interview and a written response, 100% all 10 kids said they found it boring writing it every day. So, and from that feedback, okay, it's still a good activity, but what's something, how else can it be practiced? And maybe just not gratitude. We can think about practicing kindness. Think about what you're looking forward to. Those type of things you mentioned. So you did the dice game. I came up with this. It's called the Habits of Happiness Wheel, which is an interactive. It's not an app. It's a web app. You press a button that spins around. It's got 15 numbers on it, and it stops, and then it will lands on a number, and it'll come up on the screen what the little activities you do that day. Exactly the same concept. So it's about the variety of doing it. So it keeps it interesting, keeping it fun, and gamifying it. And when you spoke about those activities, they're just not for kids. They're for everyone. You said that you do it every day. I've had a variety of practices over probably since 2010, and it's important to keep it going. And it's a journey. It's not something that's gonna. It's if you do it once, yeah, great. But it's not gonna really have a long lasting impact. And at the end of the day, the goal is to make it a part of who you are. And it doesn't matter what you're doing. The more you practice, the better we get. So that's a very, very similar way we think, mate. It's fantastic. So gave some great ideas then, and I highly recommend implementing the classroom as a great idea, students coming up with their own as well. Now, I wonder, one more just question on that. So you, how do you use gratitude in your life? So you reflect it. So if you're having a bad day, for example, do you have a practice of gratitude that maybe does help improve your mood or not really? Or it's just, you've just learned those skills and you find it easier to reframe perhaps, or how do you use gratitude to help?
Yeah, so like I said, when I'm sitting on the couch at night, the cards that I've created and the dice are there. And you know when you're not in a good mood.
Yeah.
And I might pick a different question. I might do a couple. I might get a whole card and answer all six of them. But for me, particularly if I'm not having a great day, I will put down my phone, I'll grab my dog and I'll go for a walk. Or I'll go in, I've got a gym just outside my office here. I'll go and just really destroy myself. I feel that, and I don't recommend this for everyone, but that's when I can just shut my mind off. Yeah. And you just feel great after it. So I use gratitude, but if I'm not in a really good place, then I find moving my body is the best for me. And that's the best thing about it, Ash. There's so many different things out there that people can do. Do you know what I mean?
100%.
That yes, gratitude needs to be done when you're not feeling well, when you are feeling well. But I think as well as that, you need to move your body. You need to do, I know you talk a lot about service. You need to do something fun. And I've found, you know, if I can do those four things I talk about a lot every day, I'm going to have more better days than not.
Absolutely.
But yeah, and I do know if I miss a couple or I've had a really busy day and something, I normally know why I'm not feeling the best. And that's because I haven't invested that time in myself to be the best possible self I can.
And that's self-awareness, isn't it? Understanding, understanding how you feel. And then I like to talk about self-awareness in, when it comes down to improving your mood in two steps: self-awareness, understanding how you're feeling, but then who's the only person who can improve your mood is ourselves. So that comes down to ownership and knowing what works for you. So what works for Dale and myself might not work for you, but you hit it exactly the same with me. So I love starting off the day with, you talked about smashing yourself, I think, is that what you said? I do that as well. So
exercise wise
exercise yeah, exactly. That's what yes, PG. Yes, exercise. I joined F45 type of training about 2.5 years ago, and it's been one of the best things I've ever done because it's hard. So it's mentally challenging. So when I finish, I felt I've challenged something, I've achieved something hard. So I know those other things that come up during the day, if I get challenged, I know I can do it. And also it makes me feel so good afterwards. Once you get your breath back and you can breathe, like the mentally, like your head's just clear, you're energized, and you're ready to go on the day. So it's a great way to set your day up. But also, exactly the same, like if I'm having a bad day, exercise is my number one go-to for sure. And also, I do feel gratitude really helps as well through reframing. So that's what works for me. And other people might find something. So I know that music, physical activity, laughter, are three scientific proven ways that can improve our mood, as well as other things, of course. And gratitude is definitely one of them. But it's finding what works for you. And I think that's the most important thing. And also giving options to young people in particular so they can have, a toolkit, if you like, to find out what works for them. But the most important thing, we're teaching them the skills from a young age so they have those lifelong skills moving forward. Because as we know, young people today and teenagers, life's different to what, when we grew up as middle-aged people. I think that's what we are.
No, we are, mate. Yeah. And I think with that, actually, life is different. It's changing. There's so many different pressures on young kids growing up today that we never experienced. And I think we need to have a little bit of empathy for them that, we didn't grow up with this digital world. I don't know what that's like. But what we can do is give them a whole heap of different ideas that they can try. 90% of them may not work, but if they can get one or two that works for them, fantastic. Do you know what I mean? And then they can keep building on that toolkit or filling up their cup or all these different metaphors that we talk about. But yeah, I just think, mate, we need to have a bit more empathy for different generations, because think how much the world's changed since we've been on this planet, mate. I look at my grandparents that, still live out on a farm, and like they've got no idea about technology, and that's great. They're very happy with how they are.
Absolutely.
But the generation now wouldn't know what their life would be without
100%.
It. And I just think we need to be empathetic that they are different. They're different ways of communicating and operating. But at the end of the day, everybody needs to find something works for them. If you haven't found it yet, don't give up. Keep trying.
Absolutely. Yeah, exactly right. And I think that's the important skill is just to keep trying, take ownership of that to develop the skills. And as I said, always say, if it doesn't matter if you're a 3-year-old or a 103-year-old, when we're talking about skills of being grateful and the like, it's relevant for everyone. It's just working out what works best for you, and also talking about it with other people is depending on their age and their context and their demographic and what they're doing. It's just, you might present it and talk about it slightly differently, but it's all relevant to everyone. And just a little tip out there, if you're talking about gratitude with younger people, what I found works really well is in an introduction, I do a little program with 3 to 5 year olds, and we always talk about what you're lucky to have. So that's just an easy way to understand it, what you're lucky to have, and that works really well for young people. Now, I think we had a great chat. I'm very interested, what are you working on now? What's coming up for you in the next month to 6 months? What are you working on?
I've been putting together, so the last 2 years has been really fine-tuning called a community package. So where I go into primary school, work with all the kids, then afterwards I work with the teachers, and then after that I work with the parents. So really fine-tuning that package and sort of pitching it to some bigger partners so we can have more impact and a bigger reach. So I think the pandemic has made people realize the benefit of how important sort of connection is and play and having fun in the workplace. So I've got a number doing so much more corporate work than what I've been doing before. And I'm really enjoying similar. My programs are very similar. It doesn't matter who I'm working with, everybody benefits from it. And I think that's one thing that's been really good for me to see that, you know, obviously being a teacher, I know the benefits it has in the school for having fun and play and things like that. But now seeing that for adults and how it can just change a room within a couple of minutes has been really cool. And it sort of validates what I believe in and what I'm doing, Ash. So that's sort of where I'm at the moment. And obviously being in Melbourne, we've been quite affected by lockdowns, and I'm still doing a lot of virtual, obviously because we can't get face-to-face as much. But just really excited to be able to hopefully travel again. One of the best things I feel is being able to travel around the world and present to different cultures, different nationalities. And I've really missed that the last couple of years. So, mate, just chipping away. I suppose I sort of took a little bit of a break from a lot of things once the book came out. It was a big thing to achieve. And now I'm sort of just really enjoying the programs I'm run and the people I work with, mate, and particularly getting to work with people like yourself, mate. And I know we did a couple of awesome events together. And if you are keen on that, let us know, because we crushed it together, mate. I think our energy and personality really complemented each other. And I look forward to more things like that in the future.
Absolutely, man. Definitely highly recommend all Dale's programs. And on that, where can we find you, mate? Obviously, highly recommend it, man. We've done some workshops together. I'll probably probably talk about this later, but looking at doing probably a couple next year again. So if people are interested in that, but also where can they find you, mate?
So I'm on probably Instagram and Twitter. I'm just at Dale Sidebottom. Major website is just energetic.education. You can get the book, All Work, No Play, anywhere. And if you want to check out my TED Talk, that's free. 15 minutes on the dot. You'll get a fun activity out of it. You'll laugh at what I'm wearing. Just go on to YouTube, type in Dale Sidebottom TED Talk. And I think it'll give you a really good sort of outline and overlay of what I do, my message, and sort of where I've come from. That's probably a starting point if you're not sick of listening to me already, Ash.
Not at all, mate. Listen to that enthusiasm, that energy all day. Now, what I like about, just before we wrap this up, is the action. So you mentioned before about these books out there that give you the research, which is great, but I'm like, I need action. I want, okay, what do I do? How do I implement this? And that's one of the reasons why I started Growing with Gratitude as well, because there's so much research out there about the benefit of being grateful, the benefit of empathy and kindness. Okay, well, how do we actually practice it? So totally resonate with that. And I think it's fantastic. You've given so many activities that people can go away and try. It doesn't matter what age and whatever context, they're all relevant for everyone. Highly recommend checking out the book and the TED Talk for more, and going to Dale's website and following him on socials. Dale, thank you very much, mate. It's always a pleasure to chat. And I love what I learned a lot today as well. So fantastic to hear those stories. And thanks for joining us.
My pleasure, Ash. Thanks for having me on the show, mate.
No worries, mate. See ya.